Today's reading is 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
This is week 3 of our 4-part series on Unshakable, based on the letter of 1 John. Love, love, love. All we need is love. If John had a favourite song, this one of the Beatles would definitely be on his top 10. Ryan Strather writes, John is sometimes referred to as the expert on love. I read that he uses the word agape or agape, meaning love, over 30 times. Paul is the apostle of faith. Peter is the apostle of hope. James is the apostle of good works. And John, the apostle of love. We know that John really identified with Jesus' love for him, even to the point of referring to himself in his gospel record as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And just when you think, how much more can I learn about love? John gives us even more insight into the love of God. John is clarifying some things even further and makes a case that we haven't quite seen yet. We show God by our love. The Bible has different words for love. And even in the English language, we use the word in many different contexts. My love of chocolate is not the same as my love for my siblings. My love of movies is not the same as my love for God. Though, as I confessed last week, that can sometimes be a fine line. In verse 9, John emphasizes the kind of love God has for humanity. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's just pull that verse apart for just one moment. God was giving. He sent his Son. God was selfless. He sent his only Son. God was personal. He acted towards the world. God was purposeful so that we might live.
God was consistent that we might live through him.
This is unshakable love. And verse 10 explains why. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
As with the unshakable truth, God's love is also unshakable. And it has nothing to do with us. It's unconditional. God loves us. As the song "So You Would Come" says, nothing you could do can make him love you more. And nothing that you've done would make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come.
How do we respond to that? Firstly, by believing that Jesus is the only way to God. We are all invited to receive Jesus as our Saviour, fully accepting his death as a sufficient sacrifice for our sins, fully trusting him alone as our Saviour. Becoming a Christian is not about rituals, going to church, or doing certain things while refraining from other things. Becoming a Christian is all about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ through faith is what makes a person a Christian. While being a Christian does mean that you believe in God, that's not all it means. In reality, belief in God is just the beginning. Becoming a Christian is a process. God works in your heart over time. And that work doesn't end officially when you claim the Christian faith as your own. Christian living involves a transformation of our whole lives out of gratitude to God. Obedience to God's laws is seen as an opportunity to express thanks to God for what God has done. This obedience is not seen as a means of winning approval, but of showing love and appreciation to God. Jesus taught his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The understanding of life as gratitude has two important consequences. First, it frees us from continual concern about our performance. We do not need to keep asking, "Am I good enough?" Because our purpose is simply to let our lives express our joy and gratitude. Second, all of life is now seen as an opportunity to serve God. One way Christians display gratitude is by worshiping God, individually and collectively. We also express our gratitude through the way we treat our family members, the way we perform in our jobs, the way we use our leisure time, the way that we may take part in politics, how we participate in community action, how we interact with our neighbours, how we spend our money, how we share about our faith. We say thanks to God through all our efforts to share his love and compassion with the world. We say thanks in our efforts to invite people to church, to work for justice, to provide hospitality, to donate, to tutor a child, to welcome a newcomer, or volunteer, overseas or in our own community. As Christians, we show our love for God by the way we relate to others. As John writes in verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another."
This follows his teaching in chapter 3, verse 18. Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Philip McLarty shared the following story in his sermon on this topic. There is a story told of a congregation who had just called a new minister. Everyone was excited about meeting this new pastor and hearing him preach. Come Sunday morning, the sanctuary was packed. The people sat on the edge of the pews in anticipation of his first sermon. Sure enough, it was a doozy. He selected as his text 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God loved us in this way, we ought to love one another. As the sermon ended, heads nodded and the pastoral nominating committee breathed a huge sigh of relief. He was a keeper. But the next Sunday, as the new minister read the text for the day, a few of the old saints raised their eyebrow. For it was the same text as the Sunday before, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. They'd never heard two consecutive sermons on the same text before, but to give the new preacher the benefit of the doubt, they listened carefully and tried to be open-minded. But as the preacher began his sermon, lo and behold, it was the exact same sermon they'd heard the week before, word for word. They didn't know what to make of it. Was this some kind of a joke? They wondered. Were they supposed to get some deeper meaning the second time round? Was he even aware that he was repeating himself? Out of courtesy, they didn't say anything. They just listened, politely, and when the service was over, shook hands at the door and said something like, "That was a mighty interesting sermon you had for us today, Reverend." The next Sunday, everyone was on pins and needles. The tension was thick as the service began. One could sense a storm was brewing. When the new minister began reading the text, the congregation squirming in their seats, for once again he read from 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God loved us in this way, we ought to love one another. And to their dismay, he began the sermon with the same exact words as the two Sundays before. But before he could get past the introduction, one of the elders jumped up and said, "Preacher, we've heard this sermon twice now. What gives?" The minister looked at the elder and said, "Why, nothing. Nothing, really. Do this and I'll give you another sermon next week." Beloved, friends, if God loved us in this way, we ought to love one another. This is the heart and soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what distinguishes us as Christians. In the old song that we used to sing at campsites and in youth group, "They'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they will know that we are Christians by our love." God loves us and we in turn love one another. That's the essence of the Christian faith. Yet when you try to put love into action, it's a lot easier said than done. God's love is an unshakable love. How do we claim the same? But face it, sometimes we don't feel like loving or being very loving. And to be honest, some folks are a lot easier to love than others. Obeying God's commandments is not easy. God has demonstrated his unshakable love. So how do we mirror that? We cannot do it on our own. John continues in verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Going back to chapter 3, which I encourage you all to read in the near future because we've not read that together. But in chapter 3, verse 1, John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." So why should we love? Apart from obeying Jesus' commandment, 1 John 3:16 to 21 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity for them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We love because he first loved us." We don't have to care, to help out, to serve, to gain God's acceptance or approval. I would hope that our motivation to show love to others through service is in response to what God has done for us. As John writes in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. In these challenging times of lockdown, isolation, confinement, loss of jobs, loss of income, exhaustion from carrying extra loads, domestic violence, loneliness, I have personally seen firsthand the overwhelming generosity of people who have reached out to those that they do know and to others that they have never met and may never meet. The provision of meals and shopping, clothing, food and household items to help a woman in need to reset up a home after becoming homeless. Making or taking phone calls and listening. Sending a note, a card to let someone know that they're being thought of. People with limited income have generously given financially. Busy people who have given of their time to help another. The sharing of resources, many of them quietly and in an unassuming and private way. This has warmed my heart over and over and over again to see the way God's people love. This is expressing the love of God and living out the kingdom of God now. This is an unshakable love in action. I recently watched a show where this scenario occurred. A very high-ranking military officer offered to assist the wife of a deceased soldier. The widow said, "Oh, I'm sure you have more pressing matters to attend to than look after me." He paused, then replied, "There may be more pressing matters, but not as important." Are we able to distinguish between, you know, the important over the pressing? How do we express our love to others? How do we make ourselves available? How do we give? And what does it mean to lay down our lives? Paul's challenge to the church in Corinth is a good place to start. Often used at weddings, but I believe it's meant for a much broader audience than that and maybe directed specifically to followers of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Are we prepared to lay down our jealousies, ambitions, gossip, feeling of self-righteousness, keeping records of those who have offended us, revenge, enjoying someone's hardship? These are confronting accusations, and I know that I am guilty of them at times, probably many times. And I keep praying that the Holy Spirit will soften my heart and help me live out a life that does reflect God's love. Laying down our life is letting go of those things and taking on Paul's example of what love is all about. Sadly, there are times, and there have been many times, where Christians have been a part of divisions. Sadly, history will tell us this, our different denominations, over and over, the difference of opinions, theologically and sometimes just personally, will cause this division. These divisions have been made very evident of late in the media, both in our news and in social media, for lots of different reasons. And it's inevitable that because we are human and we are still sinners and we are yet to reach perfection, that we will have these tensions. But how we manage it is what is more important. How can I show love and grace to those that I disagree with or who disagree with me? Do I live by the words of John? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We love because he first loved us. Finally, what happens when we do love properly? God will be seen in us. His love will be perfected in us, meaning it reaches its mature end. But that is going to take time. But in the process, in the now, no one will see God physically. But they will see God as they see our love. Someone has said that we might be the only Jesus someone will see. Let me try to explain why. Because if we are loving properly and in the full maturity that God intended, following the pattern of selfless sacrificial love, when we are acting in a way that is countercultural, then someone might be curious and eventually be pointed to Christ. How are we mirroring that unshakable love of God? Show others God by your love, our love. Let us hang on to God's unshakable love and claim it as our own. To build on the pillars of John's message of unshakable truth, unshakable zeal, And next time we'll be looking at unshakable faith. The four pillars that we build our foundation, our faith, our life, to be living out the kingdom of God now. The message of John is very powerful. Let us keep on loving. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you've offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect. It never fails. It is unshakable. And that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that our lives would be filled and overflowing with the power of your love so we can make a difference in this world and bring honor to you. We ask for your help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do to prove ourselves. It's not based on any talent or gift, but the most significant thing we can do in this life is simply to love you and choose to love others. Help us to love as you love. Fill us with your spirit so that we can choose what is best. We are weak, Lord, but we also know that even when we are weak, you are strong within us. Thank you that it's not all up to us. Thank you that you equip us to face each day with the power of your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. We love you, Lord, and we need you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.